Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante. We're back here from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Still talking Penn State, Purdue, 35-7 Penn State win, setting up a key stretch ahead with Iowa on the road, Michigan at home, Michigan State on the road. You know, to be 5-0 going into that stretch, it's a good place to be, but this is where the season is made coming up. We, you know, doing what we usually do coming out of the Purdue game. We're going to listen to what James Franklin had to say about some of these key areas of the game, and then we're going to give our thoughts then too on what he had to say. And as promised before, we mentioned reading between the lines what James had to say about the running back situation. I think that's a really good place to start. You know, he was asked afterwards if Noah Cain started to separate a little bit, and here's what he had to say. I think it's pretty interesting how he put it.
Yeah, I'm not going to announce a change or a decision at the running back position before watching the tape and studying all those things. We thought Journey had a couple weeks where he did some good things, so he moved to the top of the depth chart. Obviously, after today, you could make some arguments that maybe that's Noah now moving to the top of the depth chart. I don't know if we've gotten to a point where someone's consistently in practice and in games that's separated themselves from the pack. So I still think we're going to play four guys. But there could be a guy that's the lead, you know, starter. So I think, you know, the starter, I think, got two series and then we went 1-1 after that. But we'll see. I don't want to sit here and proclaim a decision's been made before we've discussed it as a staff or the players.
All right. So even hearing that quote again, I don't even think that's reading between the lines. Like, for him to be, I'm not going to announce this right now before watching the film. There's going to be a change in thinking. There's already a change in thinking from what the way that he talked about this. If he were asked the same question 3 weeks ago, he would say, "Hey, look, I know you're going to keep asking me. We're going with four guys." He definitely, I don't even think he hinted. I think we're going to see some kind of change. And I don't know whether that's on the depth chart that they release leading up to Iowa. I don't know if it's going to be seeing Noah Cain earlier in games, making Noah Cain having an increased workload. There's going to be something different about Iowa one way or another.
Exactly. One way or the other, we'll see more Noah Cain. I think it will be in the depth chart. But even if not that, we were talking about it earlier in the show. The first four possessions of the Purdue game, we had Journey Brown and Ricky Slade for 2 and 2 possessions. Now, it couldn't have been all that bad if they were up 28-0 after those four possessions, but I don't think we're going to see that against Iowa.
It seems to me, in the way that Noah Cain's game is, it would make sense to me that you pound Noah Cain, you sprinkle in the others. Yeah, you know, ride Noah Cain for 14, 15, 16 carries in a game, and then you sprinkle in the speed guys around him. That would make sense to me. We'll see what they end up doing. On the subject of Noah Cain, you know, James Franklin has addressed, you know, his strengths before, but he was asked about him again after.
You know, when you got a young kid like Noah Cain who just, you know, continues to get better and play with more confidence, he's very decisive in how he runs. He sticks his foot in the ground. He gets north-south. He breaks tackles. He'll get a 16-yarder. He'll get a 12-yarder. He'll get a 4-yarder or a 3-yarder. He's just very consistent. He's always falling forward.
Again, it's repurposing the same compliments that he's had for Noah Cain. But I think in the context of this offense, you know, exactly what James Franklin is describing there, it just feels like exactly what the offense needs. And I know it's easy to say, I don't even think this is a flavor of the week thing. It's just what Noah Cain has presented all season. You know, give me the north-south guy.
There's probably been two series all season where you said Penn State's running game took control, and they were both with Noah Cain running the ball.
It's beyond coincidental now, right?
Correct.
All that said, I mean, I think what Penn State is doing with four running backs is not conventional. Three running backs has become the norm. And James Franklin was asked just about the way football was going, the direction football was going, to have more guys in the backfield. And here's what he had to say about that.
I do. And I also think, you know, football's changed as well, is where, you know, you better have three backs, you know, and we're in a situation where we think we got four. Because, you know, I think the other thing is Devin Ford went in and did some really good things too. So we got some guys that we believe in. I think you know, all of them are playing at a high level. I think Coach Sider's done a really good job with those guys as well. You know, so we'll just see. We'll continue to evaluate. And, you know, the good thing is we got someone stepping up each week. It's not always the same guy, but we got somebody that's doing it.
I think it's true what he says there, that someone steps up each week. And maybe, you know, like one out of the four stepped up each week. Has anybody stepped up more than Noah Cain? You know, and again, I mean, I think Journey Brown has run very consistently well. I just, you know, like for your starter to only finish with five carries, you know, it's a weird situation to me.
It is, and this was probably the first game where it seemed like they were late in the game rewarding the hot hand. The hot hand was Noah Cain and a bit of Devin Ford also. So if you want to rank them on performance, and again, it may not be a large enough sample size that we're being fair, especially when, like I said, Ricky Slade had four carries and really there wasn't much there for him. But if you're going to rank them now over this many games, Noah Cain has consistently looked good. I believe Devin Ford has looked good. Journey Brown, best way to put it, he's done nothing to fall in the depth chart. Ricky Slade does feel like the odd man out.
And I, at some point in time, somebody has to be. And I mean, as I mentioned before, to put Ricky Slade, his season so far as a little glass half full, like he could be a game away. Maybe, you know, he's a game away from finding that rhythm, from finding some running room. Maybe he's had some bad fortune relative to the other guys like this. But at some point in time, we're through five games. He's averaging 2.1 yards per carry. That's got to say something at some point in time. The offense in this game, you know, one of the big issues, one of the big talking points coming out of it was it really slowing down after building a 28-0 lead, not really putting points on the board until late in this game. Here's what James Franklin had to say about why or how this offense slowed down.
Yeah, I didn't feel that during the game. You know, we took some shots down the field, didn't hit them early in the game. We didn't really throw the ball down the field, but we threw the ball on time and we were able to get separation and make people miss and take a 12-yard throw, you know, 50. So explosive plays can come in a number of different ways. It's throwing it over their heads, or it's being able to run great routes, create separation, throw on time. And we just didn't do that as much in the second half, or we'd get a pressure or a hold or something to throw us off a rhythm. I did not feel that during the game, but we didn't execute. They made some adjustments, then we made some adjustments, but we weren't as clean with our execution. I thought last week for four quarters, we really played a complete game, and I felt like, you know, maybe after getting those early points, that maybe we took a deep breath and exhaled, and you know, we don't live like that around here. We're gonna play for four quarters, 6 seconds at a time, and be aggressive for four quarters. So yeah, you know, we'll look at the tape and see.
I thought that was his best quote of the whole thing was, "We don't live like that around here." You know, not happy with taking the foot off the gas a little bit, and I do think it's a young offense losing its sense of urgency some. I don't think there was anything, you know, I thought Purdue showed some flustering things, but Penn State adjusted back to that. I don't think it was that so much. I think it was just a loss of focus in this game where, you know, the outcome was never in question.
Right. I was, as we talked about earlier in the show, I wasn't the glass half empty on this. And I did like that quote. And what I also liked is I was always fearful that James Franklin was coaching to, gee, we need more explosive plays. And I liked hearing him say, we can throw it underneath and get an explosive play. You saw it with Jahan Dotson the week before. We saw it with KJ Hamler. These guys are capable of taking a 10-yard, 15-yard pass And Jahan Dotson looked great on that play, didn't he?
He did. And to that end, I don't think that under James Franklin they've really had that capability quite like they have now.
Right.
The throw it short and make something happen with the ball in your hands.
And let's not forget about the explosive Nick Bowers.
You can never forget about that. Looked like a tackle running down the field. That's a big dude. Really, really good play design on that one. But I think what Penn State is trying, and we've had this dialogue a lot of the season, they're trying to figure out, you know, making plays down the field, because I think Sean Clifford's got a lot more in him than he's shown so far, getting the ball down the field with accuracy, letting his guys catch it and run with it that way. But I think there's always that element of needing to show that, needing to prove that, that at the very least that you're going to be willing to take those shots in order to create the room it takes in your running game and in the short passing game.
And if you do the short passing game, establish the running game, guess what? Then you could take those shots when the defense starts coming, creeping up, and that getting behind the defense will be a lot easier.
Let's sneak one quote in here about the defense quick before we take a break, and then we'll get back to it. Really had some good things to say, obviously, about a defense that recorded 10 sacks against Purdue.
Defensively, we're doing some special things right now. It starts up front when your defensive line can stop the run and pressure the quarterback from four down, when you can get 13 tackles for a loss in a game and 10 sacks and hold someone to minus 19 yards rushing. You know, we're playing championship level defense right now. We've been doing it, you know, for a number of weeks. So, you know, very, very pleased and impressed with that.
Championship level defense, you know, through 5 weeks, they've done a little bit of bending at times. They bent a little bit against Pitt. They bent a little bit against Buffalo. They had, you know, the one drive with a couple chunk plays or whatever. By the way, the touchdown pass, was that not completed on Joey Porter Jr.? You know, I think sometimes the commitment to rotate guys in, you know, it has a chance to blemish your scorecard a bit. But, nonetheless, a really impressive effort. And I think James Franklin has a lot of belief, a lot of confidence in these guys that when we get into these big games against better opponents, this defense will be there to play.
And that was also the kind of play where it's not like Joey Porter made a mistake, a terrible mistake, and the guy was wide open. It was kind of a back shoulder kind of play.
What's that play going to do for him down the road? That's all. It's a separate conversation for a separate day, but...
And just while we're talking real quick, David Bell's a player.
He is a player. Another game, Nick Cross from Maryland, David Bell from Purdue, Penn State targets, doing big things. All right, we're going to hear more from James Franklin about Purdue right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.